Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Elder and Evangelist White. Please go with us in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, our gracious Lord, thank you for allowing us to live to see another day. Oh God, I just ask right now that you will just touch, Father God, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord Jesus. I know this is an on-time word, and the devil does not want it to get out, Lord, just for all the things that are already taking place thus far. God, I ask right now that you will just touch my lips and elder lips. I ask, Father God, that you will give us wisdom from on high. Allow us to only speak to your people what you would have us to speak. And God, I ask right now that every listener and everyone that tunes in, Lord God, would not only just be a hearer, but a doer of your holy word. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people. Good morning, Elder White.
Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
Amen. So today, if there's like a little echo, it's because we have speakerphone. One of the phones is not working. That's when you know that the devil is doing something. The topic this morning is time to tame the tongue. Very, 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 very needed and very good topic. You agree, Elder?
I agree.
Amen. So there's two objectives that I want the people to get, that God actually wants me to relay for the people to get. The one is to appreciate the power and the danger of the tongue. And the second one is to understand the difference between heavenly wisdom and that which is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Amen. So we're going to actually start with James 3, and I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 12. Actually, we're going to do James 3, 1 through 18. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to brittle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hymn, whithsoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that is defileth in the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doeth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? And so can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. And let me go ahead and do 13 and 18. Who is wise, and who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without excuse me, partiality, and without that word, I want to just say being a hypocrite, but it's without hypocrisy, thank you, forgive me. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make a peace. Amen. So what do you think about that, Elder?
Well, I think it's awesome. We just have some problems with our technical technical difficulties this morning, but I apologize. What I think about it is when it talks about the heart, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. Whatever is in there, if you're not overwhelmed with the anointing and Spirit of God, mm-hmm. then whatever it is that is in you is going to come out. And it's just amazing how the mouth is the first thing. Mm-hmm. The mouth is the first thing that gives evidence of really what's inside of you. Mm-hmm. If you're overwhelmed with Christ and then you find yourself in a hot situation, then it's going to be evidenced by your conversation of what's going to come out. When God has dealt with your heart,
yes.
and what James is saying here is that we ought to be kind.
Yes.
We ought to show that we are not teachers that look to put people under subjection to just what we say.
That's right.
But we are doing it in a way to let them know that we are also one that needs to be taught, remembering what it was that God has done for us.
Amen.
And we don't take anything for granted.
Amen.
When it comes down to the things that God has done and what he is doing in our lives.
And, you know, that's good, Elder. One of the things that I was really looking at was in, you know, the first verse when it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And I believe James was beginning this chapter with a caution against many becoming teachers in view of the stricter judgment that awaits teachers. One should be sure they possess the maturity and self-control necessary to control that tongue. James then provides a series of illustrations to demonstrate the power of the tongue. And that was exactly what you were saying. Like, I think sometimes for the sake of whatever, we whether it be we're putting people in position in the house of God or whether we're putting people in positions, just teachers, teaching, you know, regular kids, if the person does not have maturity and self-control, you know, it is very wise not to put people up until they get to a place. And you do more harm putting someone up fast that's going to tear people up with their mouth than waiting and cautious and waiting on God's time for a person to get spiritually mature and get that cultivated. That taming of the tongue, that controlling of the tongue, no man can do, only God. Only God can control this tongue. That's why we have to plead the blood of Jesus and be in our word, because whatever is in you is going to eventually come about you. And if you don't have no word and you don't have no spiritual maturity, then guess what's going to come out? Amen, Elder?
Amen.
So the topic is time to tame the tongue. Let me ask you a question, Elder, pertaining that tongue, because he actually says, you know, there was also actually demonstrations about the tongue can first be, you know, wisdom of God. It can be sensual and then demonic. And people don't think sometimes that their tongue is demonic. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when Jesus has full control of your heart, see, this thing is about being overwhelmed with God. It's not enough to have a touch.
Yes.
You have to be completely overwhelmed. That means that all of your faculties have to be completely immersed in God.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and when Peter said, Jesus, you're not going to, you know, wash my feet, you know, then Jesus said, if I don't wash the feet, then you have no part with me.
Mm.
And Peter said, not only my feet, Lord,
dip
me on my hands, my head,
yes.
everything.
Everything.
And when everything is immersed in God,
yes.
And you're totally sold out for him, in other words, you are born again,
mm.
You are born again believer, that when you went in, And you went in the similitude of his baptism when you was baptized and you went totally in. There was a full body immersion. Everything, every part of my body was, in symbolic terms, was immersed in his death. That when I rose up again, I rose with him with resurrected life in that similitude. Well, this is talking about similitude too, when we talk about that tongue being a fire. You know, it's amazing how when you look at the tongue, such a small thing. You know, it's such a little thing, but it's like a fire from on hell.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, a little fire can cause a massive damage.
Yes.
But when a man or a woman is able to bridle their tongue, when they're able to control their tongue, that means that they are conscious of what their tongue can do.
That's right.
And when you are conscious of what you're doing, you are concerned about what you say, then that means that you are actually having control of your whole body, your whole man. Everything matters. When I'm concerned about what I say, making sure that what I say does not offend or put me not in a right relationship with God, just imagine every other part of the body.
Come on,
Arthur. So he's saying the same thing. Just like that little member can cause such a fire, but it's also consciousness of how obedient and submissive you are to God.
Yes.
You know, my consciousness is totally sold out and in tune with what God is saying.
Yeah.
And let me say this one last thing. That's why when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you see that it was those tongues, but it were fiery tongues that sat upon their heads.
Mm.
And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost or as the Spirit gave utterance.
Yes.
And that's why when you look at what John the Baptist said, it says that he who come after me, whose shoe latches I'm not able to lace, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yes.
That's a passion. When
you
have fire and you have been totally immersed in God.
Yes.
You understand? That means that I can now listen and hear what the Holy Ghost is saying out of the passion of a heart that is totally immersed in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that no matter what I say, whatever I hear, see, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you go to the second chapter of James, James is dealing with this. He's dealing with your faith. He said faith without works
is dead.
It's not enough to just say that you are a Christian, but there should be action. There should be something.
Evidence.
There should be evidence to back that up.
Yes.
And the first thing in your body that gets touched or that is evident that you have the Holy Ghost
is your tongue.
Is your tongue.
That's good, Elder. You know, that's really good. I remember being a young girl. I used to cuss like a sailor. Yes, and you know, I didn't have the kind of relationship with God that I have now. It was my father that told me one day, you know, for such a pretty face, you have a very ugly mouth. And that did something to me, just to hear him say that. And I said that to say this. There's a lot of us who back in the day used to cuss. And sometimes we let that old man come back sometimes and cuss. And the thing about that is we have not truly given that over to God, you know, and it's to test you. As soon as someone says something or does something that's out of the way, you know, you'll know by what you say and how you react to them. And I was thinking about a horse. It's a strong animal. I mean, powerful. And you can put a bit in its mouth and control the direction. Tell it to stop, whoa, go left, go right. This big old ship where the winds and the waves, and you can just put the, I mean, you, so you can just imagine this tongue. And where God has given man, as it says in the beginning of Genesis, he's given us control to tame every animal, bird, and everything, but we cannot control this member of our mouth. You cannot do it without God. It is impossible to think that you can control your tongue and not have God. Only God can control your tongue. And Elder, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say was where it says, going down in 10, the verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so be. And then, forgive me, 9, where it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Explain exactly what it's saying about that.
Well, the Bible also says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, and when a person can, and you know, curse you out in one moment, and then be the, you know, the blessing of God in the next, then he's a double-minded individual. He's unstable in all of his ways. In other words, his heart truly has not been dealt with. And one thing or another, you got to understand is that whatever is in you is going to eventually come out. Just dealing with the pressures of this life, you know, when you have to deal with situations, because it rains on the just as well as the unjust.
Right.
So, you know, all of us are subjected to the same sufferings. But, you know, and this is a suffering way.
Yeah.
But the Bible also lets us know that Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. So in the midst of suffering, and suffering was something that James was quite acquainted with during this time in the Bible. You got to understand that Christians couldn't just say that they was a Christian in those days.
Yeah.
You know, Nero was killing up Christians, burning them up on the stake and putting them in his yard and hanging them up as ornaments in his yard. And they were throwing them into the gladiator arenas and so forth to be eaten by lions. You couldn't just say that you was a Christian in those days and not have something really on the inside that was going to be able to deal with the suffering that Christians were suffering in that day.
Yeah.
See, we can choose to be Christians today, you know, and choose not to tomorrow.
Right.
And there'll be no, you know, there'll be no outward repercussions for that.
Mm-hmm.
See, here they didn't have that option to be able to do that. So James, who was also known as James the Just,
yes,
he was very a devout man. He is the cousin of Jesus Christ,
yes,
himself. He wanted to make sure and teach them,
mm-hmm,
that, you know what, that this is a real work, this is a real thing, but don't forget, you know, the anointing that you have received from God. Don't forget that. Let that always be first and foremost in your mind, so that when you face suffering and persecution, you know why you are doing it.
Right.
So he wanted to make sure that they understood that,
yes,
what was really in them, and to focus on that. It's not enough, you know, to have a dip today. You got to stay into this thing daily.
That's
you got
right.
to keep your mind, and you got to stay and keep this flesh subject to the things of God daily. And if you don't, a tough trial can come your way and test you. And out of that heart, because you have not been obedient to doing what is necessary to keep your heart and to guard it, then you find yourself saying things, or, you know, things coming out of you, which is going to be evident in what you say out of your mouth.
You know, that's good, Elder. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, too, was the true religion displays heavenly wisdom. And that's what verses 13 was saying. You know, who is wise man? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. I mean, you know, James has given us an illustration about those that are supposed to be teachers and those that are supposed to be speaking, you know, just amongst your circle, you know, whether it's in the congregation, what have you, you know, who is wise among you, let them be able to. Now, one of the things it says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And then if you go down, it says in 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So I truly believe that even with the tongue, Elder, if you're not delivered here first, you should not be getting up speaking anything, because you're really going to speak from your heart. You can have a complete outline of everything you're supposed to teach about, but if you're not delivered like you need to be and you have not had a true conversion, if God has not truly converted your heart, you're going to get up and speak out of flesh. And that's a lot of times of what I see. And I don't think that people are aware that tongue, you know, one of the God's commandments is thou shalt not murder. And people think murdering is just killing and you're dead. But you can murder someone with that tongue. You can run your mouth and you can say things to people and you can kill them. You can kill their spirit. You can kill a person's heart, you know, with that tongue. And it's so important that we speak life, you know. We speak a lot of death, just illustrations, you know. We say things like, you know, oh, man, I'm stupid. I forgot that. ah, oh, man, I'm so dumb. Ah, oh, man, I'm ugly. We just speak death. You know, no, I'm smart. I just forgot that. My mind just went blank for a minute. You know, we don't, the tongue is supposed to be there to edify and build. And if you're not careful, you can do the opposite and you can tear down and destroy.
Amen. You know, Solomon, who was, you know, in his time, the wisest, or one of the wisest men to walk this earth, said in Ecclesiastes, I believe, in 5 and 6, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. We can talk all day about what we believe, and, you know, even the devil himself, he knows the word, and a lot of times he will come and try to use it against you.
Yes, he will.
And if you speak these things, or you have an agenda or a motive that is not of God, you're going to speak a word against yourself that you're not going to be able to keep. You know, it's almost like coming up with these resolutions that folks do on the first of the year, New Year's resolutions. We make all of these vows and we make all of these things and we say all of these things knowing in our heart that we are not strong enough and able to. Sometimes we fool ourselves in what we think. And we say things knowing in our hearts, you know what I mean, that is not really in our heart's intent to do. And the Apostle Paul talked about this state in the book of Romans in the 7th chapter when he said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, the very thing that I said that I would not do, that's the very thing that I wind up doing. So you got to understand that this thing is about first understanding in your heart who you are and being real with yourself. Because your tongue will condemn you of the very thing that you say that you are not. So you can be preaching, teaching, doing all of that other stuff, but again, it comes back down to what is in your heart. That's why God does not look at the outer appearance. He looks at the heart of a man. And that's how we should be also. It's about a person's faithfulness in God. And sometimes actions do speak louder than words.
Elder, I'm going to read some of these scriptures, and I want you to just kind of break them down a little bit. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his souls. The words of a talebearer are as wounds as they go down into the belly. And then it says right over here, I'm sorry, and I'm coming from Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and I just read 6, 7, and 8. And now I'm going to read Proverbs 18, and I believe it's 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So death and power. So if you, but it said they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you love the death part, you're going to eat that fruit of death.
That's the thing. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
You know, one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to me is to realize that I needed to be delivered.
Mm.
You know, you have to, you know, because the Bible lets us know that we have been born in iniquity and sin.
Okay.
From the womb, we have been born into a sinful nature.
Okay.
So one of the greatest things that we can, and that's why James was dealing with this. We're dealing with that condemnation that we all are going to fall subject to and under one day or another. We all going to have to give an account.
Right.
So none of us should think that we are more highly than the other.
Right.
You know, but you know, the bottom line is the greatest thing that happened to me was realizing that I needed to be saved from myself. And when you recognize and know that you need to be saved from yourself because of the way you think, because of what you know was in your heart, then you begin to deal with that heart. You know, Jesus said himself in Luke 6:45, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And then that's when he goes into, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what, you know, so this is a heart thing that got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, this is a heart thing. You know, everybody's worrying about, you know, don't get caught up about all this stuff that people are talking to church with their tongues. You know, I don't know, they speak it in tongues, and then they go out in the parking lot, and then they speak another tongue.
Come on, Elder.
You understand what I'm saying? Because it's what's in that heart.
Right.
It's what's in that heart. And it shouldn't be so easy for you to convert that back that quick. But then it's a good indicator for you to see, because sometimes you may slip.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may mess up, you know what I mean? Because this is a thing where you have to be transformed and renewed in your mind.
Daily.
And daily, you got to continue to stay conscious and prayed up.
Yeah.
And some things only come out through fasting and praying.
That's right.
And some of us, you know what, if Jesus was baptized, and some of us, I know that him knowing what we were going to be doing, he was, you know, you need to stay down here just a little bit longer. You know, some of y'all need to stay down in that water a little bit longer, because you know you a hot mess.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And if we be real with ourselves.
Right.
And the problem is that we just don't be real with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we be real with ourselves first, which I always said is my first ministry, is me ministering and making sure that I keep my heart, because nobody knows me better than me outside of God.
Amen.
So I have to make sure that I keep myself, so that when I find myself in a hot situation, that which is God will proceed, and not that which is Curtis.
Amen. You know what, when it's referring as far as those of us that should be teaching, you cannot teach this thing if you don't live it. It's impossible to teach people how to be loving and forgiving, and you ain't loving and forgiving. It's impossible to teach people how to forgive when you got all kinds of unforgiveness in your heart. It's impossible to tell people how you should speak nice and edify when you tearing down. And, you know, when you got jealousy and envy and you discord and you got strife, sit yourself down. I'm going to say it, you know, because a lot of folks too afraid to tell them, sit down and learn. You know, age is but a number, is not tell the wisdom of one's mind. People think that just because they're a certain age, they should be given an opportunity to go ahead. But wisdom does not come from age. It comes from experience. It comes from spiritual maturity and a transformation that only takes place with God.
And, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to say. That's one of the problems that the folks in Jesus' time had a problem with.
Yeah.
They was expecting Jesus to come a certain way.
Come on, Elder.
You know, we got to remember that Jesus was 33 years old.
Say that one more time.
Jesus wasn't, you know, an old man. You know, he changed. He had actually changed the whole movement of how we worship God.
Yes.
The whole dynamics of how we believe through one man that was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let's keep in mind that he was only 33 years old, approximately, when he was resurrected and passed on up out of here. And his ministry was only for about 3 years. You know, so when you have the anointing of God, he just kind of overleaps everything that we think. It's something that we should look for. He didn't come as a conquering David. He came as a humbling lamb.
Yes.
But we was looking for him to come the way we think he should come. We think that which is wise is always old and gray.
Come on.
And you miss the mark when you are looking at things, and that's what God wants us to see.
Yes.
1 John 2:7 says this, you know, when you were talking about teaching and you don't need that. He says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but has the same anointing teaches you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. So in other words, when this anointing is in you, and it is abiding in you, you need not that man teach you, because you are now under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And if that individual is speaking to the truth of God, he's not teaching you. He's only confirming what's already in you.
Amen. Elder, that's good. That is good. Well, that is our time.
Oh, wow.
Amen. That was good. I think sometimes people think when you're talking about the tongues, you're going to cut and tear people down. And sometimes it's all about really learning and getting knowledge and wisdom. And the tongue is not always bad. Sometimes it's good. You just have to know which tongue, you know, you are using and which tongue we should be using. Amen. So we are your hosts, Elder and Evangelist White.
Technical difficulty.
Yes, we apologize for the phone, but devil, you still did not get your way. We thank you for tuning in. If God says the same, we will be on again next week, same time. If nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do we. We are signing out. I love you, baby.
Love you, too.
God bless.
Bless you.